So I want you to turn with me, if you have a Bible, to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. And I have such a sense of expectancy tonight that God is, he's maybe already been moving. We heard about Brian, who was driving to the meeting and got healed on his way to the meeting. Didn't even get here. And that may have happened to you. It'd be wonderful to hear that, if that's the case. But this is a word that I feel the Lord's laid on my heart, because it spoke to me during the week. And you know what? There's a bit of a dilemma for preachers, that you don't want to be preaching out of your own experience in one sense, but in another sense, you know, you shouldn't be preaching stuff you don't know any reality of. So it's getting that balance, and I'm trying to give that to you. But these verses really spoke to me during the week. But let's pray before we read them together. Father, thank you for the story of Ruth's encounter with you. Thank you for people like John Gillespie, who you've used over the years, and that cheer us on, Lord, in this ministry of the gospel of the kingdom. And Lord, we just pray tonight that that gospel would just have supreme authority in this gathering tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the kingdom among us. And we welcome the Spirit of God to testify of Jesus and to set people free. We worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we come to your word now, and we pray that you'll speak with the authority of the voice of the Logos, the Word of God, as we deliver what you've given us. Lord, we're so excited about what you're going to do, and we thank you in anticipation for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about St. Paul, he says, "At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to talk to you, if you want a heading, it's rescued to safety. Rescued to safety. Paul's experience that we've read of here. Now, when he says here in verse 16, "At my first defense, no one stood by me," it may have been his first imprisonment at Rome that we read of at the end of the book of Acts. Or it could have been his first hearing under his current imprisonment as he's writing these epistles. But whatever it is, Paul knew what it was to be opposed as a human being. And some of you can identify with that. And certainly as a servant of God, he knew what it was to have various attacks. And in fact, in this passage, we're not going to go into this in any detail, but if you look at verse 10 of the same chapter, it says, "Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica." Now, this was a helper of Paul's, a disciple of Jesus, who was going around with him on his missionary journeys, but he deserted him. A lot of Christians would say, if I could have got a job with the Apostle Paul, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I reckon he probably wasn't that easy to work for, but anyway, that's another story. But, you know, he deserted him. And actually, now it says here, what is it? He loved this present world. Now, I don't think that means Demas was in the nightclubs and the pubs and whatever. I think he could have been doing meetings somewhere. But he couldn't pay the price that was being asked for of what God was leading Paul the Apostle into. You know? But here's someone that just deserted Paul. And then when you go to verse 14 and 15, we read of someone else. "Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words." It's interesting. You know, we believe in turning the other cheek, and we believe in, you know, not judging people wrongly with our mouths. But here's the Apostle Paul Now, we don't have maybe the inspiration that he has in the scripture, but nevertheless, he was warning the church off of certain people who harmed him and would harm them. But it's indicative of the fact, this man, like, if you think Christianity is all about, you know, floating on a cloud, playing a harp, you have another thing coming. When you become a Christian, you are going in the opposite direction to everything in this world system. And because of that, it'll all hit you head on. Now, don't get me wrong either. This is the best life. This is the victorious life. But it's not an easy life. And I want to share with you briefly what Paul experienced. And I believe it's what some of you are experiencing here tonight in a way. First thing he experienced, we read of here, was desertion. It says in verse 16, no one stood with me, but everyone deserted me. Have you ever been there? Have you now? This is a common experience of children whose parents maybe split up and one parent leaves the home, or maybe they've actually been given up at birth for adoption. But a sense of desertion where children are left by parents, but also in later life what can happen is the children can leave the parents and not actually have any time for them whatsoever, and there can be an estrangement that comes in the parental relationship in the different sense. Children deserted, parents deserted. We see it in marriages, wives deserted, husbands deserted. And we even see it in the church. Does anyone know what it is to be deserted by leaders or pastors or shepherds who were to look after you, or some kind of hierarchy that you were undering and your care was their priority but it didn't happen, and spiritual abuse, and that's a word we have to be careful with because it's bandied about left, right and center. You know, if somebody just, you know, likes a different flavor of sandwich than you, it's spiritual abuse. That's not what spiritual abuse is, but it is a reality of there's manipulation within the church, and it's not just physical or sexual, it can be psychological and emotional. But if you know what that is, to be actually in a fellowship, a close bond of a believing family, and be very deeply hurt because of it, and feel deserted by those who should have been there for you and had your back. And it can happen in ministry. I know there's people in ministry in the room tonight. And it can be that one of the hardest stations to be a minister's husband or wife, and or on the mission field or in some other Christian endeavor. And it's hard. And people can be fickle and unreliable and diabolical at times. Am I ramping? But you could be here tonight. Now, here's a little lesson from Paul. He experienced desertion. But it says that this was his heart. May it not be counted against them. Verse 16. Now this, I'm telling you, one of the greatest revelations you can ever have around the issue of healing and freedom for mind, emotion, spirit, and body is forgiveness. The truth of the revelation of what forgiveness does. It is a key to this whole thing. Paul was probably opposed more than most human beings in this whole world, certainly in the church. He was flogged. He was shipwrecked. He was slandered by false apostles. He was deserted by his own disciples, as we saw here. And yet he did not allow bitterness to get a root in his heart. He didn't harbor animosity and resentment toward other people. Now listen, let's not be in denial. We're not burying our head in the sands of what people can do to us. But let's be very clear. We must not retain our pound of flesh. And you do not have a right. Hear me clearly. You do not have a right to hold something against someone, even if they've done the most heinous crimes against you. Now, that's hard to say, but I'm just, and I know it's hard to do. And in fact, when it needs to happen, forgiveness needs to happen, it is hard. If it's easy, it's probably not something that needed much forgiveness anyway, because it's really painful. But I love the rendering of the Lord's Prayer that we don't normally recite, but it says, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But one of the other Gospels say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Now that means the people that you feel owe you something. You weren't there, you didn't give me that, you didn't do this for me. And you might actually be telling the truth in respect of there's something missing in that relationship. But you are not allowed to hold someone in debt, because the Lord has released us from our debt. That's what the cross is all about. That's why when Jesus cried when he died on the cross, it is finished, which actually was a word, tetelestai, which literally means paid in full. That's what they used to stamp the bill with when you paid it. Tetelestai. The debt has been cancelled. And if your debt has been cancelled by Jesus, you have no right to hold the debt against anybody else. This mentality of they owe me. Now, we might be saying that, but we can be feeling it. So he experienced desertion. He also experienced rejection, which is the same thing. Everybody forsook him. The guy's left on his own, all in Asia. Like, this is huge. This is where the church really was flourishing. And he says the whole church had turned its back on him. Now, if that was the day, they'd be saying, oh, you must be doing something wrong. Like, you know, the whole church couldn't go against you. You know the way they would talk. Couldn't be of God, because we think in success and majorities and so on. But I've found, ministering, praying with people over the years, that rejection is a massive, massive problem. And rejection usually comes along with two other elements of rejection. So if you were in a wee room with me when I'm praying with people, I'd be regularly praying against rejection, fear of rejection, and self-rejection. See, when you've been rejected in your life by a father or a mother or a spouse or a sibling or a authority leader in a church or in a school or anything like that, there is a sense of rejection that is engendered within you, but it exhibits itself and you start fearing being rejected by others. And you know what you do? The hedgehog syndrome comes in and you curl over. When people get too close, you curl over and put the spikes out in case you get hurt again. So rejected people reject people. Put boundaries in that shouldn't be there, big brick walls. There's a fear of rejection. I don't want anybody getting too close. And that can actually shield you from receiving the love of God, because you're not vulnerable enough. And he usually doesn't bulldoze over people. It's not the way he works. He wants you to open your heart to his love. But then along with fear of rejection comes self-rejection. If I have been rejected by other people, it must mean I'm unlovable or unworthy. And so you start to reject who you are yourself. Start to turn in on yourself. Paul was rejected. But you know, the wonderful message of the gospel was what got him through and actually enabled him to overcome and conquer rejection. What is that? Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you know what that means? Jesus was experiencing all our rejection so that we would not have to be rejected. He took our place. He became our substitute. Isn't that wonderful? So he knew, even though he's been rejected by these co-workers and so forth, he knew that God had accepted him, that he was part of God's family, that he belonged. Do you know that tonight? That is the cure for rejection. Then he also experienced the personal presence of Christ. He says, at my first offense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me. Do you know the personal presence of Christ? In Matthew 28, Jesus told the disciples before he ascended to heaven, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What? We're not going to live to the end of the age unless in our lifetime. But the point is, my presence will outlive you. That's what he's basically saying. And then in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 is a wonderful verse. where it says, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can see the mouths moving. That's a precious one to most Christians. But do you know there are five Greek negatives in that verse? You can't translate it properly in English. The negative is in the fivefold force, which is the most emphatic negation that you can get. Five times, the Amplified Version brings it out better. It says, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Is that clear enough? I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. That's what he's saying. You see, Christianity is not just about getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven when you die. And that's part of it, but a big part of it. But it's about actually God coming to live with you. Amen. And live in you. Do you know that? Ruth talked about how she was brought up in a good living home, if you like. And did you say you went to church? Or you did the church thing, but they didn't personally know Jesus. And that, you know, you think, well, if they believe, you know, and it's good to believe, don't get me wrong, and it's not a bad thing to go to church most of the time. But the difference is, do you know God in you? Do you know God with you? Have you this personal experience? That is the cure to loneliness. Now, I'm not underestimating what it's like to be lonely. I really am not. But I want to remind you of some things I shared before. The loneliness is an epidemic in the UK and indeed in the Western world. And there's even a minister for loneliness in the British government. The Office for National Statistics, I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. It's shocking that 1 in 20 adults feel lonely often or always. And according to the research published in a PLOS medicine journal, it's as dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, loneliness. And in 2018, they found in the research that 16 to 24-year-old young people reported feeling more lonely than pensioners between 65 and the age of 74. You heard that right. Young people between 16 and 24 felt lonelier than pensioners between 65 and 74. Now, we could go into all the conjecture why that is, and social media and so on. It's probably got something to do with it. But do you know, if you're lonely tonight, and listen, it's not about whether you're married or single, and that can impact you, but there are people who are married in the room. There are people who have a clatter of kids around them and a wider family circle, and you're lonely. Doesn't just equate, and it always helps when there's people around you. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is you can be surrounded by hundreds of people and still feel lonely in your heart. The cure to loneliness is the presence of God with you and within you. Paul said, everybody forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. I remember hearing a story about Jacqueline. She was an elderly woman who lived to take care of her daughter who was in a wheelchair. And when her daughter died, Jacqueline was not only lost for her purpose for living, but she lost her living companion, her daughter. Her cottage was in the countryside, seemed as empty as an eggshell when her daughter died. And occasionally a friend would call in to visit her or would write a note, but most of the time she spent her existence in an oppressive, ongoing solitude. Her health didn't allow her to circulate much, couldn't get out. And her best friends were now all in heaven. One day, Jacqueline's Bible opened at Philippians 4, verse 5, which reads four words, the Lord is near. If the Lord is near, she thought, I should be more aware of it. Lord, she said, I'm going to pretend that you're here all the time. No, forgive me for using that word, pretend. There's no pretending to be done. Help me ever be mindful of the reality of the nearness of your presence. That evening, as she retired, she said, I'm going to bed now, Lord. Will you please watch over me as I sleep? The next morning, on awakening, she said, good morning, Lord. This is the day you have made. And sitting down with hot tea, she read through the whole book of Philippians again and that precious verse, understanding verse 5, the Lord is near. Then she prayed aloud for a very long time. And then at noon, she said, now, Lord, let's watch the news on television so you can show me the things in this world that I can pray for. And Jacqueline and the Lord watched the news together. And then she prayed for food victims in the Delta, a newly installed president in an African country, and for a man sentenced to life imprisonment. And then at supper, she bowed her head and thanked the Lord for her food. And she didn't now feel that her prayers were traveling up to heaven. She felt instead that she was talking to someone sitting across the table from her. Gradually, her attitude was transformed. The loneliness, it didn't go away, but it lessened. And her joy increased and her fears diminished. And she never afterward felt that she was totally alone in the house because Jacqueline was learning how to abide in the presence of God. Do you know you can experience that tonight? If you go home with Jesus as your Savior, or you're a Christian and you start to actually believe that the Lord is near, it will change your life. And so Paul experienced desertion, rejection, the Lord's presence, but he also experienced through the Lord's presence strengthening. The Lord stood with me, verse 17, and strengthened me. You see, his strength is made perfect in our weakness, broken vessels. He said to Paul on another occasion, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, my enabling power is enough for you. And it says here that the Lord strengthened him to preach the gospel and extend the kingdom. You see, a lot of us want healed or delivered or blessed just for the thrill of it. But I'm sorry, it's not for that. It's for the gospel being preached, people being won for Jesus. It's not just to have a picnic in life. Now listen, there's no life like the blessing of the abundant life that Jesus gives, but it's for a reason, so that others will see the glory of God in our lives, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, the love of God, which emanates from us, the peace of God that rests on our minds and hearts. That healing is for the gospel. So you can receive that strengthening tonight. Who doesn't need strengthening? And then it says he experienced rescue. Verse 17, isn't this beautiful? He strengthened me and rescued me from the lion's mouth. Oh, I know there are people in the room here tonight who have been rescued from the lion's mouth. Peter said, the devil is like a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And I was immediately reminded, remember you learned that story at Sunday school, Daniel, in the den of lions, and the emperor threw him into the pit where there were those hungry, bloodthirsty lions. But it says the Lord shut the lion's mouth. I believe the Lord, please God tonight, that you will shut the mouth of the lion in people's ears. There are people here who are tormented because of the roar of the lion. The devil is tormenting your soul, your mind and your heart. The Lord is going to shut his mouth tonight. I read a verse this week again. Amos 3 and verse 12, it says this. The Lord says, as the shepherd snatches, listen to this, as the shepherd snatches two legs or a piece of an ear from the lion's mouth, so the Israelites who live in Samaria will be rescued. Anybody ever seen that verse? As the Lord snatches two legs and a piece of ear from the lion's mouth, so the Israelites live in Samaria shall be rescued. So the picture is of a shepherd and the wee lamb has been devoured by a lion, but the shepherd loves that lamb so much, it's dead. But he still goes after that lion. And there's two shanks of that lamb hanging out of its mouth and a gristle of ear, but the shepherd still goes after it. That's the good shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when there's nothing much left in your life but two lamb shanks and a broken ear, he'll come after you. And he'll rescue you from the lion's mouth. And not only that, but look at verse 18. And every evil work. Hallelujah. That just makes sure that we know there's no exceptions here. I do believe that. I want to see more of it. But I believe it before I see it, because faith is the substance of things not seen. I believe what God says, whether I've seen it or not, and I've seen a few things. I haven't seen everything I want to see, far from it. But I believe it. I believe that he's able to deliver you from every evil work. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. He's able to rescue and bring you, and this is verse 18, to safety. And will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. They say a persistent lack of safety can contribute to long-term mental health risks, including anxiety disorders, depression, and complex trauma responses. Safety. Do you feel safe? You know, safety doesn't happen by accident. And very often what happens is in our childhood we don't feel safe. I have a friend at the moment going through a very difficult time. A mature adult, but because in childhood he didn't feel safe, all through life he hasn't felt safe. And there's been a lot going for him. He's a good family. He's a good business. He doesn't want for anything, but he still obsesses about finances. He still obsesses about business deals because he doesn't feel safe. He doesn't feel secure. No matter how well things are going, he's racked with anxiety. It's a huge problem. But God is saying to us, I'll make you safe. If you believe me, if you trust me, if you actually take for granted what I'm saying. You ever taken God for granted in the right sense? Just take it as read what he said. He will bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. And that brought Paul the experience of confidence. So where did he start? He experienced desertion, rejection, then the presence of the Lord, then strengthening, then rescue, then safety, and that brought the confidence. He will bring you into his heavenly kingdom. Now I want to ask you very pointedly, are you sure that you are moving towards God's heavenly kingdom? Are you sure when you die that you're going to be with God? And it's not all about heaven when you die, but there's a lot of problems if you're not going to heaven when you die, because you'll be lost. And if you think despair is great now, what despair will there be if you're lost forever? But you can have the confidence tonight that God is bringing you into his heavenly kingdom. I mean, what about that? The safety and security, the stillness, the peace, the satisfaction and joy of knowing. God delivered Paul many times, so he was no doubt at this time about God's power and goodness. Paul just didn't know whether he'd be delivered in this life or the next. There is deliverance in this life, but he didn't know. That's why on one occasion he says, to be with Christ is far better, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But I'm going to stay here because it's needful for you Philippian folk. He wasn't afraid of death. And he didn't know whether he'd be healed in this life or the next, whether he'd be delivered in this life or the next. And there have been people being healed here, but we can't guarantee whether you'll be healed in this life or the next. But one thing that's absolutely guaranteeable, certifiable, and warrant worthy is that you will have ultimate healing if your life is in Christ, whether in this life or the next. And you'll be safe in God's heavenly kingdom here and there with him in glory. Do you have that? Are you rescued from safety? And Christian, are you living in the abundance of that? And are you tonight, maybe you felt in the lion's mouth, well, this is a word from the Lord to you that he has come to rescue you and bring you into safety. He wants you to know he's here and he's present with you. Let's pray. Now, there's going to be an opportunity for people to get prayer in a few moments. There's a wonderful prayer team up at the front. And they're not here yet, but they will be here. And it might be a bit of a queue, but don't worry. Nobody's in a hurry. If you can hang around, we'll hang around to pray for you. And we would encourage you to come forward for prayer. I'm going to pray now in a moment. But if you need personal one-to-one prayer, they will help you. There's a team also, and the Lord speaks to some of them, speaks to all of them. But sometimes particular people get a message, and the team's here. Is there anybody in the team has a message? Somebody told me something the other day, and I forgot it. Wilma, you got something or something? Jim? Sight and vision. Something to do with sight and vision, that the Lord wants to touch someone around sight and vision, whether that's literal sight or... Did you feel it was literal or don't know? Or spiritual vision? Don't know, but...
Vision of the Lord.
Maybe seeing the Lord in a particular way. How you see him? Who knows? Let the Lord interpret it. But something to do with sight and vision. Anybody else in the team have anything else?
Symptoms.
Yes.
There's like a wholeness element to that as well, something with anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's someone, physical symptoms there, but he's working on
things. So someone with the physical symptoms of anxiety, so you're physically being sick because of anxiety, but the anxiety, the Lord wants to touch the core issues that are causing that. Anybody? From trauma?
Deep
trauma. Anyone else in the group, in the team? No? Okay, well, let's pray. First of all, I want to address anybody. You know, the greatest healing is knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're a child of God, that you belong to Him. So if you're here and you don't know that for sure, and you don't have the confidence we've talked about, and you want to become a Christian, I know everybody in Ireland is a Christian. Well, not everybody, but everybody thinks it. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Christian religion. We're talking about people having a personal relationship. Whatever your background is, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care which side of the fence you're on. It's irrelevant to me. I don't think God cares. God's not a prod, by the way. And He's not a Catholic. You know what I mean? He's God, right? So all these distinctions and differentiations don't matter to Him. All that matters is if He's your father and you're His son or daughter. So is there anybody here tonight and you want to take that step of faith for the ultimate healing of knowing God as your father, sins forgiven and belonging to Him? Just where you are, let's bow our heads, close our eyes and just respect everybody around you. But is there anyone you would put your hand up to say, I need that. I need to take that step. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. We just want you to indicate your need tonight of trusting Christ as Savior. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Is there anybody else? Or you're not sure, you're not confident in your security as a child of God. I'm going to lead the people in a prayer now, just between them and God. Is there anybody else? I do sense there's somebody else struggling right now. Just put your hand up and down again. I'll see it, acknowledge it. And it's a confession of your need this evening. God bless you. Is there anybody else? That's two people. Is there anybody else? Okay, now even if you didn't put your hand up, you don't have to put your hand up to be saved, all right? But you can pray this prayer. Just say it after me from your heart to God. You've got to mean it. It's not magic. It's just words to express faith in your heart that you're going to believe God. You're going to believe He loves you. He actually wants to help you. And He's a good Father. And Jesus died for you. Okay? So you believe it from your heart and pray after me, just between you and the Lord. Oh God, I come to You in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess He is the Son of God. And He died on the cross for my sins. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me Your child. And that I might know You as my Father. I ask You to come into my life now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And give me the freedom that I need. I turn from my sins and turn to you. In Jesus' name. If you're a backslider, you can pray some sin, just confess your sins. Is there anyone growing cold in the faith? Anyone growing cold in the faith and you need to come home to the Lord? Would you raise your hand where you are? Is there anyone? God bless you. Anybody else? You know, a backslider, someone walked with the Lord, but now you're not walking with them, or you've gone apathetic or whatever. Anybody else? Okay, is there anyone tonight that you feel either deserted, rejected, or you feel you're in the mouth of the lion right now, and you need a miracle? Would you put your hand up? Okay. Right, now you know what you need. Put your hand down again. You know what you need. You need to come and claim the word of God and say, Lord, I'm in the lion's mouth, or I'm lonely, or whatever, right? And say, Lord, would you come with your presence that David talked about tonight, and would you heal me? Would you help me? Would you deliver me from the lion's mouth? Okay? You do that. And come near to me, and may you help me practice your presence and know that you're with me at all times. Would you strengthen me? That's what that verse says. Would you give me the confidence and the safety? Who's racked with fear this evening and anxiety? And you need set free. You need that safety. Maybe you need healing for your childhood. Maybe you need to forgive a mommy or a daddy. Maybe you need to forgive some other authority figure, and you need to have that broken off you. Come and get prayer afterwards. Do that, definitely. But come to God right now and ask him for the help that that you need from him. And I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, just rest upon the gathering now. Thank you for these people who have come to Jesus tonight. For those, the backslider, you just confess your sin and come to the Lord again. And anybody else, cold in the faith. Lord, for those who are praying to you now about desertion and rejection and loneliness and fear, insecurity and lack of confidence in you and life in general, I speak to the lion, the adversary, in the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I say, behold the cross. Behold the cross. You evil powers. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. Hallelujah. Enemy, you're defeated. Your mouth is shut tonight. You're a toothless lion. And we say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And I command you to release. We loose people tonight from the jaws of satanic and demonic grip. We loose their minds. We loose their hearts. We loose their bodies and their spirits. Holy Spirit, take them by the hand. Bring them into the safety and the protection of the Lord Jesus. Bring them, the lambs, into his bosom, to carry them, to put them on his shoulders. Lord, would you just embrace the broken and the needy and the lonely here tonight, and would you flood their consciousness with a sense of the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that everyone would feel cocooned in the love of God tonight, that love that is beyond description, unspeakable. Oh, love of God, flow over us tonight. Baptize us with the love of God, the love of the Father. Thank you, Father. And I rebuke every spirit and every bondage and command you to flee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Flee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And come, Holy Spirit, and pour in the oil of joy for mourning. Give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Declare the year of Jubilee in this place. Slaves set free, debts cancelled, land restored. This is the year of the Lord. We proclaim it. The kingdom has come. And for those who are still in the balance tonight, don't know you as Lord of their lives, Lord, may they settle the matter before even they go home. But we give you glory. We thank you. I thank you that you've delivered me from the mouth of the lion even this week. And I thank you that you're delivering us into the kingdom of safety and security. Heavenly, whether we die or live, we're with you, Lord. What else matters? Hallelujah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Do miracles in this place tonight for your glory, Lord Jesus. And even as we sing and praise to you, will you inhabit our praises? Will you saturate the place with your presence even more, Lord? Intensify the density of your Shekinah glory over us. Your weighty presence, let it come more, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.